So first question in the buy sell, well, who's buying and who's selling? And in a lot of instances, it depends, but that's a question that you really, when you're advising your clients, want to think through first, because there could be situations where one party really doesn't want to be either a buyer or a seller. And it's often the case that they don't want to be a seller. A common example is when, say, two parties come together and one is going to contribute into the LLC a piece of intellectual property, and then in that LLC, the owners are going to jointly develop and kind of commercialize it. And if they feel like they need a buy-sell, if they want to have a right to be able to kind of wind the partnership down, they often really don't want to be in a position where they would get bought out and their very valuable IP stays in the LLC. So it, for a client like that, you'd want to make sure that there's no way that a buy-sell could be triggered buying them out of their interest. Either they get to be the seller, or you need to look at some other kind of mechanism for winding down the business whereby that owner gets to keep that valuable asset that they contributed. Another example, and I'm actually working on an LLC agreement right now, would be real estate. So we're working on an LLC where these brothers who've had this piece of property and that they've had it in their family for generations are going to contribute that property to an LLC. And the other member of the LLC, who's our client, is going to come in and develop the property. And initially, both sides said, hey, you know, we think we probably need a buy-sell, right? And we said, well, let's think this through. And for the brothers, they started thinking about it, and because there is some sentimental attachment to this property, they said, hey, we just really aren't comfortable with the idea, if this were to kind of go sideways, that we would get bought out, and the developer just takes this land and cuts us a check, and now we're out of the picture. And then for our client, the developer, they said, you know, even though we also suggested a buy-sell, we're kind of equally uncomfortable with that idea, because when we sign up for a project, we're all in, and we can't be pulling out or getting bought out halfway through. Relatedly, we have concerns that these brothers would even have the liquidity to buy us out. And so ultimately where they ended up landing is they're not going to do a buy-sell at all. They say, look, we're in this together. If issues arise and we're at a deadlock, we'll just have to figure it out. So sometimes the question the answer you ultimately get to on the question of who's the buyer and who's the seller, it could be no one, but it could depend. So I think when people say buy-sell, the most common formulation of the buy-sell is the shotgun, or at least how people view it, right?
Right. Yeah, I would say so. So as Ryan said, the shotgun method, or you might also hear of it called the push-pull provision, is pretty effectively incorporated into buy-sells all the time. The way it works is that it allows party A to offer to purchase party B's ownership interest at a certain valuation and with set terms in the offer for things like payment, closing, etc. And then party B has the option to either accept party A's offer or turn around and purchase party A's ownership interest on the exact same terms. Now, using this method has some pretty great advantages. One, it incentivizes the parties to make a legitimate offer. If party A makes an insulting offer to party B, well, then he risks B turning around and on those same exact terms purchasing his interest. So it incentivizes them to come to the table with a realistic and legitimate offer. In addition, it's pretty straightforward and simple, leads to quick resolution, and can be very cost efficient since the owners don't need to involve any third parties. Now, on the flip side, using this method can really bias an individual with much more cash on hand, as well as a majority member. As Ryan mentioned earlier, deadlocks don't have to come just from the 50-50 relationship. Say you've got a 70-30 split, and one person has to come up with cash to buy the 70% of the equity, and the other person would just have to come up with the cash to buy the 30% of equity. So Likewise, shotgun tends to favor a party with more intimate knowledge of the business because they've got a better ability to formulate an offer and to evaluate whether an offer is actually fair, whether they should move forward with it or whether they should turn it down. So it could also incentivize a bad faith actor to manufacture a dispute, to try to force the other party to make an offer just because they know they can flip around and force that person out. So all in all, it can create a bit of an uncertainty as to the outcome when compared to a more straightforward exit mechanism. But in general, its simplicity and its ease of administration make it a really popular choice. And just as an aside, as a quick drafting tip to be aware of, be sure to specify in either the offer or the terms in your buy-sell that the offer is a per-unit price or a percentage interest price. You don't want a 30% holder to insist, because of some poor drafting, that they have the right to buy out the 70% holder for the exact same price that was just offered for their 30. I know that sounds ridiculous, obviously, because who would think that's fair, but if you're at this point, the parties are probably already in a bit of a contentious place, so watch out for that sloppy drafting. You don't want to give them any room to make that argument. So we've included a good example of this type of provision, as well as all the other provisions we're talking about today, in the materials for you guys to review.